Hey everyone, welcome back to Radio Imbibe from Imbibe Magazine. I'm Paul Clark, the executive editor of Imbibe, and this is episode number 9 of this podcast, coming to you just before Thanksgiving 2020. This is going to be a different kind of holiday this year. Maybe you're celebrating it alone, or with the same social bubble you've been spending time with in recent months. Maybe you're getting together with friends and family via Zoom or FaceTime. Or maybe you're scrubbing the holiday altogether, and instead you're planning on a long hike or bike ride or an afternoon Netflix binge. Regardless of how you're planning to start the holiday season, we have one suggestion that'll help make it more festive: whiskey. For our November-December issue, we dedicated our holiday drinks feature to whiskey-based cocktails that'll come in handy during this unusual holiday season. And to get you started on enjoying those, we've asked Megan Dorman, the bar director for Rain's Law Room and Dear Irving in New York City, and one of our former Imbibe 75 Bartenders of the Year, to prepare the drink she shared for this issue and to chat with us a bit more about whiskey cocktails to kick off the season. For our November-December issue, our holiday drinks feature focuses entirely on season-appropriate cocktails made with whiskey. Bourbon, rye, Irish, Scotch, Japanese, Canadian, you name it, it's all fair game. For that feature, you provided a recipe for the Wildest Redhead from Rain's Law Room. We're going to get to that recipe in a few moments, but first, let's talk about whiskey in the holiday season. So Thanksgiving is almost upon us. Is whiskey going to factor into your holiday celebration in some way?
Definitely. A few years ago, I trained my brother on how to make a great old fashioned. So if I get to go home for the holidays, I'm in good hands, actually.
Now, we all have our own answer to this question, and I'd like to hear yours. What makes whiskey and whiskey-based cocktails particularly appropriate at this time of year?
So I don't remember where I first heard this term, but I need to put on a whiskey sweater was something someone said to me in the bar one time. And I was like, oh, that lines up so well, because even when you have whiskey as a cold cocktail, there's something so comforting about it. And it does kind of warm you up from the inside out. And even if it's not really chilly where you are, there, I find something very comforting about all whiskeys, but especially American whiskey.
Now, in our feature, we have a number of original recipes from bartenders across the country and in Canada as well. Many of them have their roots in classic whiskey cocktails, like an Old Fashioned or a Manhattan or a Whiskey Sour. Can we talk about some of these whiskey-based classics and why they're appropriate for the season?
Yeah, I think when we go back to these formulas that bartenders love so much, I mean, when you taste just a great Manhattan or Old Fashioned or Whiskey Sour, you understand why they've lasted so long, because they just simply really work, right? But we have so much available to us now that wasn't widely available then. So what we love to do is swap these ingredients in and out of these classic formulas and, you know, say use a little Amaro instead of a vermouth, or add some apple cider and honey to a Whiskey Sour. But keeping in those, it's really the ratios, I think, that help keep us in line. And then we build out from there.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned a couple of the flavors and a couple of kinds of ingredients that we can use in. There's nothing wrong with a basic whiskey sour at this time or a basic Manhattan. But as you mentioned, you know, putting in a little bit of an Amaro, or going in that kind of holiday flavor direction with a flavor like allspice or an aromatic bitters that draw heavily on baking spice, can kind of take that basic classic cocktail and just give it a little nudge into the winter feel, into the holiday season.
Yeah, exactly. And when we talk about kind of classic style of bartending, you know, it came back around after Prohibition and a long era of people not being so invested in drinks. But what we're trying to do is not just cover up booze and, you know, give it a vehicle to drink. Is what we want to do is look at the spirit as the backbone. And so what is it that you love about an aged rum? Is it that kind of allspice, brown sugar, touch of vanilla? So what we want to do is amplify that, right? So find the ingredients that are going to bring that up a little bit, whereas lemon and sugar will always do the trick, but maybe use a little bit of cinnamon syrup instead, and you're going to draw out more of that flavor that you're looking for. So I always encourage people to think, you know, a couple extra steps about the spirits that they like and what are those little notes that they want to try to amplify.
And this holiday season is going to be really different for a number of reasons. The gatherings are going to be much smaller. And when we do see people that that may not be a part of our COVID bubble, it will be outdoors and, you know, maybe around a fire pit with plenty of distance between us, which makes hot drinks particularly appropriate for this season. A hot toddy or hot whiskey punch can be great at this time of year regardless, but especially if you're spending more of your time outside. What kind of special considerations should people take when mixing hot drinks with whiskey? What kinds of things should they keep in mind?
So I always tell people, both with punches and with hot drinks, to go a little lighter on the alcohol than you might think, especially in these times when you probably don't want any more overnight guests than you planned for. Something about the temperature or how you consume them can, I feel like, makes the alcohol more intense. So you don't want anyone, you know, like falling asleep around your fire pit. So use a little bit less alcohol than you might in a regular cocktail. But also my favorite thing to heat up just over the stove or by a fire is some apple cider, because you really also can't mess it up. Like some spice, some either bourbon or aged rum or even brandy is really great with apple cider.
And, you know, when you're using apple cider in a hot drink or lemon juice or any kind of citrus, you do have to keep the acid in mind, because the heat is going to kind of, you know, emphasize mm-hmm. the sharpness of that acid. And so, you know, it's important to remember that you offset that with your sugar or your honey or your sweetener that you're adding in as well.
Yeah. And you do want to be careful about maybe leaving it unattended or trying to heat it up too fast. Because on the other side, like in terms of sugar or cider, you could reduce it or make it quite sweet or more caramely than you intended.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had partially answered this earlier, but around the holidays, as we get past Thanksgiving, as we start heading toward Christmas and New Year's, are you more likely to turn to Scotch whiskey or to an American whiskey like bourbon or rye? Or is this the time of year when you dig out that bottle of Powers or Redbreast and see where it takes you?
Oh, Paul, I really can't decide between the whiskeys, but I do come from a big Irish family. So a bottle of Redbreast pretty much always makes an appearance, or Greenspot if people are feeling a little more adventurous too. But I am also a big Buffalo Trace girl. I just like love it. Never goes out of style for me. So that's something I always have at home too.
Now, we had promised a recipe for your wildest redhead from our current issue. Are you ready to take it for a spin?
Yeah. I first have to tell people that I found an old drink called a wild redhead, which was such a good name and not a great drink. It was just equal parts lemon juice and cherry herrings. So I felt like I had to live on, but with a little more oomph, you know? So the wildest redhead I first made for Lantern's Keep in 2014, and then it lived on at all my other bars since. So when I make a drink, I always go in like small, affordable ingredients and work my way up to the spirit. Just in case I make a mistake, I don't want to throw anything out, especially our good whiskey. So first is 3/4 ounce of fresh lemon juice. And then at the bars, we combine allspice dram with honey syrup, but I'll just do it separate for now. So 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of honey syrup, 1/4 ounce of St. Elizabeth allspice dram or pimento dram, whatever you have on hand. And then I'm going to do 1.5 ounces of scotch. For the most part, we use a blend like Monkey Shoulder, Compass Box Artist Blend has worked out well for this. Any kind of blended scotch should do the trick. And I keep the cherry herring to the side till the end. So get a little bit of ice and some fresh ice for our glass. A big rock if you have it, but definitely not necessary. And for the happiest sound everybody likes, we're going to shake this up. And then as I pour this over the ice, after I let it settle in, then I take 1/4 ounce of cherry herring. I've learned to eyeball it at this point, but I just drizzle that over the ice and I get a nice red float, and that rich cherry will mix in with the allspice really well.
And by pouring that cherry herring in at the very end, you're basically adding the flavor, but it's also kind of its own garnish in its way.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely drink. We have a beautiful photo of it in the magazine.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this sounds excellent for the holidays, because as we were talking about earlier, it's, you know, it's very similar in some ways to just a classic whiskey sour, but you're adding in those elements of the richness of the cherry liqueur and a little bit of the allspice, which just kind of takes it in an interesting, very wintry, very kind of comforting direction.
Yeah, I like to say it tastes like a hug.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, this is going to be a really different Thanksgiving and a really different holiday season for most of us, because 2020 is just going to be that way. We're looking for food and drink that are somehow festive, but also super comforting after a very uncomfortable year. For people out there who are thinking about what bottles they might want to have on hand leading to the holidays, or what kinds of modifiers they should keep around or already have on hand, what are some suggestions you'd make to be well prepared for making comforting winter cocktails for the holiday season?
Well, my big mantra of 2020 and quarantine drinking has been to treat yourself. So if you have like a bottle that you've been holding on to, or someone gave you as a gift, like, I personally think this is the year to open it, even if it's just for yourself. So definitely treat yourself. But also, I have been really into like little farmers market things. If you are available to kind of go out and just enjoy your little local area, like local maple syrup, some cool honey is very comforting. And my favorite thing to do is just switch out the sweetener of an old fashioned. So having honey on hand, having maple syrup, or infusing a little cinnamon syrup into your simple syrup, that's always great to have around. Yeah. And I think like just appreciating the little things that we have. So if you're in an area that has these cool little mixers or a distillery, and like supporting these little things we can appreciate, and not thinking about something that's too far away or too out of reach, just like kind of what's available around us has kind of been my goal this year.
Absolutely. You know, keeping in mind that your local craft distillers may not have the kind of access that they had previously, with bars and restaurants being operating at limited capacity or shut down entirely. Or like you said, you know, the smaller producers at farmers markets or at your local shops. This is a great time of year to give them some support, because it's been a tough year for all of us, and especially for folks who work at that kind of level. So aiming your dollars and your attention to some of your local producers, this is a great opportunity to do so.
Yeah. And I will say that I was just going to say many of them are you know, around, just like we are, and just like reaching out with an email or an Instagram message. A lot of people are really happy to like make a little custom basket or help you, you know, buy your wine from your local bar instead of a big chain retailer or something like that.
For folks who live in places where takeout cocktails are an option, or picking up something from your local bars and restaurants to take home for your holiday celebrations, this is an excellent time to do so. Especially, again, at this time of year, it's putting some cash in the hands of the bartenders and the servers who we rely on all year long, and in our normal lives, help them get through the holiday season and make it through to the other side.
Definitely.
Megan, thank you so much for doing this for us. I really appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Thanks, and bye.
You can find the full recipe for the Wildest Redhead and many, many other whiskey-based cocktails on our website at imbibemagazine.com. Stop by that website regularly for more articles and recipes, and keep up with us on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast to hear future episodes, and if you're not already a subscriber to the print and or digital issues of Imbibe, then we can help you with that. Just follow the link in the episode notes and become a subscriber today. This is Paul Clark from Imbibe Magazine, and I hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy Thanksgiving. I'll be back with you again soon.